You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast, coming at you Thursday afternoon. Last night, the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 98 to 90. Today, I'm in the media room with Jace Frederick, who covers as the beat writer for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. How long have you covered the Wolves?
I think this is year five. Tibbs, what was
Tibbs'
first year?
We were kind of the same time when we came.
Tibbs' first year was my first year. How many years has that been?
2016-17. That was okay. Tibbs' first year.
Okay.
I started coming around the year after that.
Okay, so five-ish?
Five-ish years.
I'm not going to count it out in my head.
We spent a lot of time in this room. I actually got here and missed media availability, so I walked in as Jace was talking to Chris Finch, and so I've convinced Jace to make this walk over to Target Center not a complete waste of time for me. So I pinned you down to do a pod here. And the Wolves are 38 games into this season. And I think for both of us, when you came on before the season, we predicted 38 wins for this team. And they're 18.
I never came on before the season. We were going to do it. And then
maybe we were texted about it.
We had a date set. And then Gross and Rosas got fired.
That's what it was.
The day we were going to do it, or the day after, it was like, let's push that back a little bit.
Yeah. Because it wasn't the time to do a preseason. Okay. But you were, I just know from talking to you, that you were right around that
38. I put it at 39.
Number.
Yeah. You said 39 was my number I put in the paper.
Well, that is exactly what they are on pace for
right now. Thank you.
At 18 and 20. Well, you're right so far. I guess that's the question. Are you going to be right about that? Are we going to be right about this kind of 38, 39 pace? I mean, I was just thinking about it last night when I was doing the pod after the game of, I think the question is like, is a turn coming? Is a turn coming where for the last 43, 44 games of the year, are they going to be an over 500 team? What are you just kind of looking forward at that picture?
Everything in my head says yes, right? Like we see stretches where it's like, yeah, this is good basketball. Like this can be like a pretty solid basketball team. Even like in the stretch of these last 20 games where, you know, they played all playoff contenders, play-in contenders. And frankly, before like the COVID stuff broke out, like they were playing pretty well. And then yet I think to like the start of the season and other stretches where then they have four or five games where they look awful and just lost. And there's a bunch of slippage. And it's like Chris Finch has talked about young teams are inherently inconsistent. And
well,
so
he said last night, right? He said youth is a synonym for inconsistency, right?
Right. And I think that's fair. And so then I think like we tend to look at like the 5-game winning streaks and be like, I think this team leans more that way. And then the 4-game losing streaks or whatever, we like make it up in our head. Well, that's because of this and this or whatever. And it's like, it's all part of the package. And I think that might just be the case for this team this year. And it's almost frustrating because you try to figure out who is this team. Is it the team that, you know, is winning 5 straight? Is it the team that's losing 4 straight? The team that's defending well? The team that's having the lapses for like 3 or 4 games in a row where we're like, oh yeah, that's the defensive team we know. I think it's a little bit of both, and it just depends on the night. It depends on the stretch. So I think like 18 and 20, sure, maybe if they didn't have the COVID crisis, they'd be
one or two.
20 and 18 tops, you know, like, but a lot of teams have gone through that, and they've benefited some from it too. They've certainly lost more guys in games than a lot of people have, but that'll probably level itself out here too over the next few weeks. Who knows? But I think it's all part of it. I think this is just kind of like representative of who they are. They're about 500. I think 39 still in the ballpark. If they finish 41-41, I'd be like, that's a pretty fair representation.
Well, it's a fair representation of up and down, right?
Right, exactly. And that's I just think I'm done looking at like which version is it, and I'm kind of settling on it's all of it.
Right. No, that's actually well put. I think if it does become more consistent and they go, 25-18, or what would that be? 25-19 the rest of the way. It's I can't really pick what will be the reason that they're more consistent. Like, what basketball element of it is it? It's probably just looking at the numbers, as simple as the offense gets better, right? Like, this team still remains, I have it right here, I think like 23rd, 24th now in offense on the year, and 10th in defense, which, as we've talked about at length, is the complete opposite of what we anticipated. But again, like, if that's who these guys, how could we predict necessarily that things are going to change? What is the reason? When they have had Kat and D'Lo and, remove the COVID crisis part of it, like, that's who they were. That's who they've been all year. It's a good defensive team and a bad offensive team. So I find myself, I'm sure you do too, talking about the offense is going to turn around. They're going to make more three-pointers. Kat's going to figure out the double teams. D'Lo's percentage is going to go back up. And I think I believe that. But then I wonder, if we're believing in that, should we also believe in the like some of the things that they've exceeded expectations on, like defensively coming back down? And I don't know. Like, I don't really know how to pick, like, if this is going to get better, how exactly it's going to get better. Do you have an idea?
In 38 games in too, when we talk about like shooting percentages and like figuring out double teams, it's like, when is it just, it is what it is, Like, I mean, I think of that all the time. Like, yeah, I think D'Lo's going to shoot better, but he hasn't, and we're quite a ways in now. And I think Malik's going to shoot better, but he hasn't. And we're quite a ways in now. And Carl, the double teams, like, they still cause him problems. And I certainly think maybe the team as a whole and Chris Finch even could come up with ideas that,
sure,
kind of work around it. But I think it's just defensively. Like, that's where I'm at. I know offensively it would make sense if that's the end that ticks up more. And I think Chris Finch probably believes that too. But like, when they had that 4 or 5 game losing streak, it was because the defense was atrocious. Right. And that was outside of the norm for them. And then they kind of tightened things up again. And I think maybe that's it. Maybe it's just even more consistently, what's good will be great. I mean, and that doesn't make sense from where I was at the start of the season, but watching this team now, it's like,
we've seen
it a lot. Yeah. And so maybe it is like, just, even against, like, they'll defend the elite offensive teams better. I don't know.
Right. What about, like, okay, so if Kat kind of is what he is, D'Lo is around what he's been, which is, for every bit he's given up on offense, he's taken back that and more on defense. But if those are just kind of who they are, I don't think we necessarily see a resurgence to the shooting from Malik Beasley that he had a year ago. Like, from on an individual standpoint, individual player standpoint, if things get better, I think I'm at the point of believing it's Ant that drives that.
Sure.
And it's kind of what I was asking him about last night after the game, was like, all right, 40 games into the season last year, that happened to be when Ryan got fired, Finch took over, but it was also like, kind of independently, Ant was just right, like, on the cusp of really breaking out into being something more. And I want to believe that he can turn a corner again this year and have a better second half than he did the first half. But similarly, I struggle with where does that come from? Is it going to be better shooting efficiency from him? Like, he is shooting 36% from three. Is it going to be better defense? I think the defense already has kind of been a little bit better. So I don't know. When I think about this team and them actually being the playoff team that he says they're going to be, which I kind of put as more like the sixth seed, out of the play-in.
Yeah, I mean, I give, if you are 7 or 8 and then you advance from there, I'd say, yeah, you're a fair play.
Sure. I just think aspirationally the goal
Should be six.
Sure. Yeah. Given also that the West is kind of down.
Right.
And for that to happen, if that does happen, I think we will have seen Anthony Edwards be a much more impactful player who's impacting winning. If there's one button to press for that to happen, I think it's going to be Ant.
Honestly, I agree with you because, like, it's tough now to pinpoint where the surge would be. But frankly, I don't know what the surge, like, I don't know if we saw that surge coming last year, you know, in all the years in which he improved. I didn't either. I mean, I think we were both like, well, he's a rookie. Doesn't look that great so far, but he's a rookie. And then all of a sudden it was like, this guy is great. So it could be anywhere, frankly, because he does things on any given night. He shows you something where it's like, wow, he has that in his bag. Right. Whether it's defensively or offensively and doing it more consistently. Frankly, like thinking back to like, where did they make the big jump in the season? It probably is just staying remarkably healthy from here. Because we've seen like every time they're missing like one piece, it just doesn't work very well. And I know like teams are going to miss pieces throughout the year. Like that happens in the NBA. Like guys get hurt, guys get sick, whatever it might be. They are basically at a spot where it's like they can't afford to lose somebody.
I know. It's kind of annoyed me the whole year whenever guys have missed time, from Pat Bev to D'Lo to Ant after games, whenever they've been missing guys and they've lost to an Orlando or whatever like that. They're like, yeah, well, you know, we weren't at full strength. And we need everybody to be able to win. And I'm like, okay, like, come on. Everyone needs everyone to win. But
they do. They do. I mean, it's so noticeable. Like, the pieces fit. They have to fit just right. And I think maybe that says something to, like, the, like, we think of this roster as deep. But then, like, the fact that when you're down a guy, it doesn't look great. Then that suggests it's not deep enough. You know, you don't have enough of what you need anyway. So that kind of seems like it. Like, yeah, if they stay totally healthy, they could go 25-19 down the stretch. But if somebody misses 10 games, it's like, well, then probably not. And that's probably going to happen somewhere along the line, too. Like, the odds say that's going to happen.
Which probably just leads us back to, like, it's going to be the up and down thing.
Right.
And it's probably going to be 18 and or 20 and 22 the rest of the way, which is still enough to get into that point. Now, at that point, the 10 seed, right?
Maybe the nine.
Which isn't like not meeting expectations. It's also just not exceeding them, right?
Yeah, I mean, for you and I, we always talk about like that would be meeting expectations, but then what would that mean for moving forward? Like that's totally like, would it meet expectations for the season? Yes. What is the baseline then that gives you for like how to move forward in the direction in the next offseason? I don't know.
Totally. Well, what about just the trade deadline? Like,
I think the trade deadline's super interesting because people always talk about like, oh, we need to add this, need to add this. And I'm always like, are you sure you have enough to push assets in now to like try to make this team better? Or should you be a team that's like, maybe we should collect assets, you know? Like,
But maybe what this like kind of inherent ambiguity about this team, the lack of stability it has, maybe what it needs is a different piece that like provides some more stability at that Malik Beasley salary number, you know, or Taurean Prince or something like that. I think that's ultimately the question for Sachin Gupta, because if you're going to flip Malik 15-16 out for somebody who's a better player at 15-16, you're going to have to pay assets to do that. Same thing with Taurean Prince.
Could you trade Taurean for somebody who has the similar number for like an extra year on it?
Yeah, that you're right. It's probably that sort of creativity where you're like, oh, are we exactly? I mean, that was the Rubio. That's what they did with Rubio for James Johnson, right?
Yes.
James Johnson was basically the Taurean Prince of a couple years ago, expiring contract, vet. And you got an upgrade in the quality of player in Ricky Rubio, but you took on another year of salary, which, you know, then ends up, you know, it's kind of a weight. Ricky Rubio isn't that great, and you get Taurean Prince. So it is kind of this full circle. Do you want to do that again? Yeah, I think that probably is the middle ground, because I wouldn't feel great about tacking a first-round pick onto Taurean Prince to boost you from the 9 seed to the 7 seed, right?
No, like, even if it does, this team still needs pieces. Probably to make a jump towards like actual Western Conference contention, and like how are you going to acquire those pieces? Probably with assets that don't include just like making a minor upgrade here somewhere along the line for this season.
I think if it were me and I'm talking about trading a first, multiple first, a young player like Jaden McDaniels, like I want to have a better idea of what my team is going to look like long term, right? I'm talking about like years.
Correct.
And just given where we're at with cap being extension eligible this summer, D'Lo being extension eligible this summer, like or even Pat Bev, like he's an expiring contract.
Correct. Yeah.
Until I know that those guys are kind of in this or just what it's going to look like.
You want them in it. Right.
Right. Like then when I'm at that point, I'm like, all right, these are the core pieces. Now I'm ready to add to the core. But as we sit here confused about what the team is, then we're inherently confused about what the core is. Right. So what I've kind of been saying lately is like, I really wouldn't be surprised if they don't make a move at the deadline. And they hope that Jalen Noel kind of is the, you know, an added spark. They get, maybe they do get a little bit more from Taurean Prince than they've had at the beginning of the year. Cat, you know, internal improvement, you know, that being the line of, we didn't make a move, but we're looking for internal development over the course of the end of the season to, you know, make our playoff push. Like, I guess I could, it wouldn't be crazy to me if they traded a first round pick with Taurean Prince, but I don't get I wouldn't bet on it.
No, I would think you have to be getting somebody who makes you better this year, somebody who makes you better next year, somebody that you think is like a valuable asset for your team as like, as you continue to build this thing like that. I think you have to be like, we're trading a piece that we think is like a true difference maker for us moving forward. And like, I don't know if Taurean in a first is going to be enough to get that guy. Like, you have
probably
to have
not.
That guy in your mind, and like, he's on your board right now. You know, it's like, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm. I was just listening to Hollinger and Duncan as I was walking over here, and they were talking about Jeremy Grant.
Sure. Yeah.
And they're just like, that's a for sure 2 first-round pick guy. And I'm like, okay, you put Jeremy Grant or the equivalent of Jeremy Grant on this team. Like, does that even do a ton to make this team better? Like, a ton? No, I don't think it does a ton. They get better. Maybe they are the 6th seed there. Maybe even the 5th seed. But do you, like, has that solved all of your questions? No, and I don't think I'm paying 2 first-round picks if I still got a lot of question marks surrounding it. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Chase.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back with Jace Frederick of the Pioneer Press. Jace, just, we were talking more. Trade deadline, obviously very big picture of this first 38 games of the season. What, when we talk about internal development and the steps that some of these guys have taken, obviously Jalen Noel is a big name that stood out. How encouraged, I guess, have you been by what we've seen from Jalen, Jaden, some of these guys recently?
Immensely impressed with Jalen. Just like watching him play, it's the little things of like the way he scores. And like, yeah, we talk about like the mid-range and few guys can do it, and like the Wolves have given him the license to do it, and he has a personal license to do it because he's so effective there, and there are so few guys who are so effective there.
It's crazy.
And then I look at like his other numbers, and like in the restricted area, he's like one of the Timberwolves' best players there too. And you watch it, and it makes sense because he goes in there and like floats and absorbs contact and still finishes super under control. And it's like, Ant doesn't do that, you know? And I get like, I get Ant's younger and whatnot, and like, but Jalen just has so many skills that you're just seeing now, really, as you get to watch him play more. And then to watch him last night do it in an actual role, like finding his role within that lineup of like Carl's
for one
here,
of the first times
here.
Ever.
Exactly. Yep. And it wasn't like forced anything and it wasn't timid. It was perfect. Chris Finch said today, I asked him, like, how did you think he did? He's like, I don't think he could have done it any better. And it's true. I mean, he was just picking his spots perfectly. Every time they needed a bucket, it would go to him and he would just get a good shot. And he's that kind of guy where it's like, even when the offense is stagnant, and it was stagnant at times in the fourth quarter last night, he can get a good shot where, like, he's getting to
at least a decent one.
Yeah, where he's getting to his spot that he wants to get to, which is like great scorers can do that. I am super intrigued by him and just like the way he can get points. And now if he's doing it where he's getting it within the flow of the offense with everybody else still getting theirs and him just like slotting in alongside them, I thought that was super intriguing last night.
I kind of thought he would have a bad game.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm a big Jaylen fan, and I have been for a while now. Like, I feel like I've seen glimpses of this offensive player for 3 years now. But every time over the past 2.5 years that he has gotten in while with the higher usage guys, you just see him kind of take a more passive approach. And he's kind of coming up the floor. He's like bringing it up to initiate the offense in a situation where normally, like, he would be the playmaker in that spot, but now he's like, oh, wait, I'm flanked by D'Lo. I'm flanked by Ant. Like, I'm just going to give it to him, and now I'm going to go spot up. And it's not that he's a bad spot-up shooter. It's just if he isn't, like, the highest usage guy on the floor or one of them, he really doesn't have a ton of value. So it's bizarre, and that's why I was like, okay, well, you know, I got Cat back, you got Ant back, you got D'Lo out there, like, I don't know. I just think he'll kind of take a passive approach tonight and not be great. But he was great. And now part of that was he wasn't playing with D'Lo. Like, he closed the game. D'Lo did not. If he did what he did last night and fits with the top guys on this rotation, I mean, we're talking about a really impactful player, because this team's biggest problem is creating effective scoring opportunities in the half court when they're not playing fast breaks, when they're not getting steals. And Jalen Noel might be one of the best half court offensive players on this team. And if that fits next to Karl-Anthony Towns, that fits next to Anthony Edwards, it even kind of fits next to D'Lo, like, that could be a couple wins alone just for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And you know, like, people talk about this all the time, like, Jalen should get Malik's minutes. Well, Malik's going to play still, you know? And like, but if Jalen does play more, it inherently means Malik's playing less. No question about it. And I was looking at this last night. Like, Malik has far and away the most catch and shoot three-pointers in the NBA. Like, way more than everybody else. And he's shooting at like a 36% clip, which is good. Mm-hmm. It's of the guys of that volume, it's in the low tier of it. But it's not bad. It's still, you know, more than a point per possession or whatever. But now, if you take some of that out, and like at half the time, it's because that's the only thing they can get in the half court.
Yeah.
And now you have Jalen catching it in the corner, maybe not even as a spot up shooter, but like catching it and then, like, you know, attacking the closeout, which, like, he does great, getting to his mid range, whatever. I think that just adds another element to your offense.
Maybe
gets others involved too. Like, Jalen can get the ball,
yeah,
attack the closeout, and now that maybe gets something for someone else. Where Malik, it's like, it's just going to be, he's going to catch and shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of disappointing that Malik hasn't added anything to that.
He always says he's worked on it, and I believe that he's worked on it. But then when you watch him put it on the deck, it just feels like something bad's going to happen. Still, even this year, even when I know it's things that he's been trying to work on these last couple off seasons, mm-hmm, it just doesn't feel like the progression.
It's a more circuitous path to the basket when he attacks, yeah, right? Jalen is like beeline to the rim when he does it.
And Jalen has confidence that when he gets there, he's going to finish. And I don't know if Malik has that.
Right. Malik's more looking for a pull-up or a floater.
Pull-up or a kick-out or whatever.
Yeah, right. It's
Ricky Rubio, Tyus Jones.
Exactly. I don't think Jalen Noel is bad at anything on offense.
No, I don't either.
So just to that end, that's like, all right, we're 24th in offensive rating thus far through the season. Probably should play him to do that. So the question ultimately becomes about his defense, which we know is a difficult sort of thing to assess. I asked Jalen after the game last night, I was just like, how would you grade yourself defensively this year? And he gave himself a C. And he's like, well, you know, I'm hard on myself. He's like, some people have said I'm better, but, you know, Yes. I give myself a C.
So I asked Chris Fitch, I said, Jalen gave himself a C on defense. Would you say that's fair? He goes, yeah, that's fair.
But in all seriousness, like, C is probably all, if no, he is good at everything on offense.
And Finch said, like, we need him to put more attention into detail on that end than he ever has before in his life to maintain that C plus average.
What I had heard, it was always kind of weird to me the past two seasons when the Wolves were bad.
Yeah.
Like literally tanking, and Jalen Noel still got very few opportunities.
Were they tanking? Because the end of last year they were not tanking.
Well, I'm talking about the
just not tanking when it mattered most.
Right. The whole season had a tanky vibe. And
until the pick was in play. Don't get me started.
I just thought it was always, I'm like, why is Jalen Noel never playing here?
Right.
Like, all of us, like, I don't know where you're like, oh, who's this Naz Reid guy?
What was he going to do? Get Jared Culver's minutes? Come on now.
But, I mean, what I had heard was Jalen really struggled to understand defensive concept, even on, like, a really basic level. And that was kind of the thing. Like, what he's said, you know, publicly, he's like, my path to playing is defense, you know, is to being, and what he'll say is, you know, I need to defend without fouling. And I think the more nuanced answer to that question is that he really didn't understand the scheme defensively.
Yep.
And
you're always a step behind, putting yourself in bad spots, and you're going to foul there.
Well, and he's like 6'3", right?
Yep.
He's played zone his 2 years in college. Like, NBA defense is harder. You just might not be that guy who's ever really put a ton of effort into defense throughout your life. So I think to that end, it kind of makes sense, right? That he wasn't a good defender. He might have been, I know some of like the metrics and stuff, like literally had Jalen Noel's first 2 years in the league as like first percentile, you know, like one of the worst defenders in the league, limited minutes or whatever. So I would agree with the C. Like, I think he has been okay. He's still going to be small, but you've seen, like, he's like, this is how I'm going to get paid, right? Like, if I'm not at least a C defensively, I'm not going to play. That was the message he heard for 2 years. And so, I don't know, I'd really have to, like, go through and, like, watch what I think he looks like in defensive concept. But I don't think it's an F anymore there. Yep. And so if he can be okay defensively, then it's a no-brainer that he's in a 20-plus minute-a-game role, I think, here going forward. Because it's not like you're getting a ton defensively from Malik. Right? Like,
yeah, no different. I don't see much difference.
The difference, though, is they don't play the same position.
Correct.
And I just am like, every time I see on Twitter, I see people are like,
Finch
don't just play him.
I mean, Finch said he's like, he's our third point guard right now. Like, that is, it's what he's playing in the offense,
right?
because you know, Pat Bev and D'Lo check out around the same time.
Right.
Which Finch is like, not the smartest thing. It's just the way it works out. and then Noel is then the point guard who comes in now.
He had five. That's what I was looking at it. D'Lo subbed out at 6.5 into the game. Pat Bev subbed out at 8.5 into the game. And then it was just Jalen out there at point guard for the first 5.5 minutes, or that next 5.5 minutes there. So, you know, if you double that, it's probably going to be about 10 minutes a game of Jalen Noel playing point guard. And how successful those minutes are is probably going to be telling to how much he can play. Because now you're out there with Naz. You're out there, you know, with Torian Prince, Jaden McDaniels. Like, Jalen in those minutes has to be what he was during the COVID time and be, you know, an efficient scorer, even if he doesn't have strong surroundings out there, which he's shown he could do. But, you know, sometimes it's alongside Jordan McLaughlin, whatever. Like, so there's all these little things with Jalen Noel that he puts them all together. You're like, okay, here's a guy in a minimum contract who, if he was a free agent next year, he'd get like the mid-level, you know, like a $10 million a year guy. And I'm not saying he is there yet, but what a nice thing to like maybe have brewing on your team right now. I think we've all talked about him at length, I know, but he's kind of the best story, certainly of the last month, but maybe of the, I don't know, maybe of the season for this Wolves team.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. And I do think, you talked about those point guard minutes. Like, it wasn't good last night for the Wolves. And how is it going to be good? You know, like, I mean, you look at that group of guys and Jalen's the point guard and the primary scorer and all of it. And like defensively, you look at it, it's like,
The Wolves are just always going to lose in those minutes.
Exactly.
It's the reason that like Naz Reid is always last in net rating.
Exactly.
On the team.
Right. And that's why sometimes like net rating has to be taken into context. And then it's when like, and I'm not trying to bag on D'Lo here, but everybody's like, look at that net rating. It's like, yeah, when he's off the court, Jalen Noel is playing point guard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a lot of times it comes down to your who is the guy playing behind you. And it's for the Wolves, it's somebody who's not really even a point guard. And he can play that role and he's versatile in that sense, but it's not set up very well for them to succeed. But I get why they do it, because why wouldn't you set it up to maximize your starting lineup that has given you such a massive advantage?
Right. That's the point.
They're sacrificing the second unit for the success of the starting lineup, and that makes sense.
Well, and that's why they started they brought Patrick Beverley off the bench to start the year, because they're like, well, we need a backup point guard. So now they've made this concession of like, well, we're actually going to play Beverley at the two because we love the Bev D'Lo, Ant, Vando, Cat lineup, but it opens up serious backup point guard problems. You know, with Jordan McLaughlin at the beginning of the year, he wasn't able to find anything. So now, yeah, it is Jalen Noel, and like last night against the Thunder, you can't take out the starting five and lose all your fire and lose your 20-point lead. Like, I don't think anybody has an expectation that the Wolves are going to win the non-cat minutes. But it can't be as bad as it's been, you know, in those
good teams.
Exactly. Which brings me to the last thing we'll kind of close on. Like, what is this team going to be going forward? They don't play good teams in the next three games. It's the Thunder on Friday, it's Houston on Sunday, and it's New Orleans on that Tuesday, I think. Those are three of the worst teams in the league. I think if you're a team talking about turning the corner, if you're talking about being a team who is in the playoffs, like, I understand these are on the road, but these are the teams you kind of take care of business against. If they, I don't know, if they lose two of them, I think I will be a lot more concerned about this team going forward. I don't think they will. I think they'll win two, or I could see them winning all three of them. But I feel like we're going to learn if this team is kind of above the ruckus of the bottom of the Western Conference by how they kind of play here. Because no excuses. Like, you got your whole team back.
I think it's clear they're above the ruckus, right? I think it is. I think it's
pretty good. So maybe how high?
Yeah, right. And I think I would peg them to go 2-2 in this road trip, including the Memphis game.
After that.
Yeah. And then that puts them almost exactly where I think they are. Like, I really do think they are a team that's just going to hover around 500, a little above, a little below all year. And I look at, like, the rosters and whatnot, and it kind of makes sense to me.
But so this is the chance for them to prove us wrong, which we are betting on the you're going to probably be around a 38, 39, 40 win pace for the rest of the year. Like, winning this road trip, winning all four, something like that, is a proof of concept that you are something better than that. And I know it's like a four-game winning streak on the road is hard for any team to do, but it's about as easy of a road trip
as you're ever going to find. Correct.
Yeah. And no excuses about your team not being all the way back together.
Even
like
rust and stuff. This is everybody's second game back, still against the Thunder, which you probably even
sleepwalk by the time
those,
it's
you know,
Sunday, like
everybody's back.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to, if Kat plays bad in that game, if D'Lo plays bad in that game, like, that's just a bad game.
Right.
I'm not going to be like, oh, they're still coming out of it. So it's interesting. I think the rest of this January, like, I could see this being like a really good run for this Wolves team. And it's a lot of road games, but I do. I think, even though I can't really define where the turn is going to come from, they do seem to be, you know, poised to bring that here. You're smiling. You disagree.
Just because I've thought that like five times this season.
That's fair.
And then they turn it around. And then even last night, they win the game. Chris Finch, like, watching him coach, he would look like he was disgusted. And it was one of the few times after the game where he's like, we did not play well. Like, that was not good. And there was other times where I thought they didn't play well, where he's like, yeah, we did this and this well. Anthony Edwards, like, we played bad. And it is like, that's an opponent you should win. You should be excited. You have your whole group back. Okay, here we go. Take off like you did in the first quarter, smash them. And then you just slept walk. Like, everybody but Patrick Beverly and Jalen Noel just slept walk through the whole game. And it's just another example of the roller coaster. And I just am not sure when they're going to get off the roller coaster. So I agree with you that I look at the way they've played in their best moments this year, and I'm like, they are significantly better than these next three teams, and they will show it. And yet I can't bet on them to actually show up all three times.
If youth is synonymous with inconsistency, it's time to stop being a young team. Like, you're not that young. Ant is young.
Ant's young. Jane's young. Jared Vanderbilt's like 21.
I just don't think this is like a it's not a young team like
Houston
is.
You have to
Houston
take
is,
age off or like and count experience towards these things.
Yeah, which, to be fair, Vando doesn't have much of that
doesn't
either.
Doesn't have much either.
I just think
it actually really is a young team. You know, like,
I think they cannot be a young team. Put it like, does that make sense? Like,
well, it's such a weird dynamic in that your core, your max players are not young, but Patrick Beverly's not young. They're not in that bucket at all.
Establish that.
But then they are surrounded by young, you know, like they are surrounded by a bunch of young players. It's what makes it a really weird roster construction.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. This team is hard to pin down.
Who's actually in the rotation?
Yeah, you're right. The older guys, the Torian Princes,
Not really in the rotation. Like, right. So it's like, who's in the
rest
rotation?
Rest in peace, Greg Monroe.
You've got Patrick Beverly, veteran, Angela Russell, veteran, Carl Anthony Towns, veteran. And then you've got Malik Beasley's a veteran.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's four. And then you've got a bunch of
four of your nine.
Pretty.
I guess those other five guys,
they're going to be up and down. But it's on everybody
else
to not be.
Yeah. I think Jared Vanderbilt is getting away from being a young player.
Oh, he's not inconsistent. He is not inconsistent.
Exactly.
That guy brings it.
I don't really put that there. And then this, what I was talking about again, at the big end with Ant, like, yes, you are young. Yes, you're going to be inconsistent. But can he be less inconsistent the rest of the way? I think, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are a young team. Maybe you're right. But
I don't like giving them that excuse because you have two max players.
Well, it's just if they're not going to make the playoffs if they be a young and inconsistent team. So you can't say you're young and inconsistent and say we're making the playoffs. Now, to be fair, different people are saying those different things, but I think that's just the reality of the situation. And they have a chance here, 40 keep messing up how many games this is, 44 more games to prove it. Like, we'll see. It's what makes this year for us, I think, to cover a lot more interesting. Like, you kind of live and die a little bit more with the result from night to night rather than you're just like, oh, okay. Like, it's intriguing.
I want to ask you one question.
Okay.
I started this year thinking the primary objective was figuring out if D'Lo and Kat are the core you want to build around. I'm not going to ask you, like, where you are on that. What do you need to see in these last 44 games to think this is the core with these players in the middle, Ant, Kat, D'Lo, that they should ride forward with?
I just need to see those two guys be more dynamic in their pairing. That this was all pitched as this awesome pick-and-roll duo, as on paper it should have been, greatest popping pick-and-roll big in the league. D'Lo's has the pick-and-roll skill set. You know, it should have been a better pairing, the two of them, than we thought. And we heard all this stuff about how they're the best of friends and they're all this thing. Like, we expected more from them as a twosome than they've been. And I think it's an open question if they are a dynamic pairing together. So for me, over the next 44 games of the season, I need to see something where I go, whew, that's going to be it. There's 5 minutes left in the game. It's a 2-point game. They're going to be a tough team to beat because they're going to go down on offense every time, and they're going to get a good look out of an action between Kat and D'Lo with Ant kind of as the third wheel there. If I see that, you know, then sure, let's talk about extensions this summer. Because if you see that, they're going to be a 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to be, you know, they're going to be more than I expected them to be. If not, again, if this team is what it is, I'm not ready to make any long-term decisions about this core in the offseason. You know, like, I wouldn't want to lock in extensions for all of them. Obviously, like, Kat is always going to be a good extension, whatever.
Right.
But, like, no, I'm not ready to build around this core until I see a lot more of them, the three of them together, but specifically Cat and D'Lo, who are your two best players. Are you same spot?
I you're so right about that pick and roll combination that was so built up right away, and it's like they don't even do it. And it's because Carl, as a screener, is inconsistent and gets offensive fouls in that respect, and he's just not naturally a roller.
So he doesn't roll.
It doesn't, exactly. He doesn't
roll. He doesn't shoot enough off the pop when he does catch.
Correct. So, like, D'Lo at his best is, frankly, when he gets in those grooves where he's running four or five straight pick and rolls with Naj Reid. So that's like, is Carl and D'Lo, are they the best fits for one another? And it doesn't really always look like that.
Right, and that isn't even necessarily an indictment of either of them.
It's not. It's just not. Sometimes it's just not a good fit of skill set. You know, like that has nothing to do with the quality of players that either one is. I just question, like, are they the right players to have alongside one another?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if they maximize each other.
And to that end, like, let's see more of it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you have to run some more screen roll with Carl and D'Lo, especially when you stink so badly so often in the half court sets.
If I was Sasha Gupta, you know, and I'm talking to Chris Finch about like the future of this team. That's why I'd be like, you know, can we see more of this?
Yeah. You cannot believe in it, but let's just see it and see how it works. And then we can, and then we might very well make roster changes that better fit your vision. But let's just see if this fits. You
That's
know?
Also not Chris Finch's preferred style of play.
Exactly.
Either.
That's what I'm saying.
So
you know, just
pick
like,
and roll duo with a coach who prefers ball movement to individualizing offense. Again, I think Chris is a good coach. I think Kat is a good center. I think D'Lo is a good point guard. I don't know how well. I don't know if those three bring the best out of each other as a threesome.
It's just interesting that he's super willing to go to it when it's Naz and D'Lo.
Because he rolls.
Exactly. That's just it. You know, that's just it. Like, it's a player thing. I think in his mind, he probably doesn't think it'll work.
Well, the proof's in the pudding, right?
Yeah, I want to see it too. I'm saying
he doesn't
behind everything he does. So I think that there's a reasoning in his head for it. There's a reason why he wants it to happen with one center and not the other. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Like, even if it's in practice or whatever, where it doesn't work, like, can we just see it a little bit more, please?
All right, Chase. Thanks for doing this. Stealing some of your time here on an off day. I'm sure we'll do another one of these pods here as the season goes on. You work your ass off. You do a really good job covering this team. Of course, I'm sure you all follow Jace and read his work at the Pioneer Press. You can subscribe to the Pioneer Press for $1 for 6 months.
Per Brit. I'm sure it's probably on the website. I don't know about that deal, but.
No, I have it. That's how.
Oh, perfect.
That's how I have the thing. Because my thing like expired like. It probably expired like in November because that's when I signed up like a year ago or something. And then they're like, continue for $1 for the next 6 months.
If you don't think that makes sense financially, it's because advertising still rules the world and they just want subscriber numbers.
I know all too well about that. All right. He's Jace Frederick. Follow him on Twitter at Jace Frederick. I'm Dane Moore at Dane Moore NBA. I'm actually going to do another pod with Britt here. So you'll have this at your feed sometime in the next 12 to 24 hours as well. Wolves on Friday in Oklahoma City. Until then, he's Jace. I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man. I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah.